We're waking you up or putting you to sleep. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. It's so good. Wait, don't do that. It's so good to be here. Thanks for joining us here on Sunday. Hour two, we're jumping right back into it here on a Sunday. Now, last hour, we did focus a lot on the same-sex plebiscite, a same-sex marriage plebiscite here in Australia. We did focus rather a huge chunk of the first hour on it, but we are going to focus on it a little bit this hour, in the first segment here of hour two, because I understand that some people may miss some parts of the first hour and may just jump in to the second hour straight away. Some people like the second hour over the shortness of the second hour over the first hour, but which doesn't make any sense. But yeah, you'll get it if you're a podcast listener. So we'll get to that in about 30 seconds here. But before we get started, want to mention this again. The fact that in the first time, we've been doing the show for 2 years now, I want to say. A little over 2 years. And for the first time ever, the Generic Live Show has an email address. Its own email address. Fanfare, please. That is terrifying. The Generic Live Show has an email account. You can email us genericliveshow@gmail.com. You can send your text emails there. You can send MP3s to be on the show. Genericliveshow@gmail.com. Attach your MP3s there. Yeah. Messages, I'm happy to read them and do all that sort of stuff. But please, no jokes that'll make me use this sound effect on there. I don't feel like dragging that out every now and again. Speaking of things that I don't feel like dragging out, hey, how about that there same-sex marriage plebiscite? How's that going? Well, not good. We've been playing this clip all evening, and it seems the most appropriate of them all. It's a where to from here. Let's play it. We'll break it down. At this hour, we're focusing in on who we're talking about here and who influences these decisions. Now, we'll get through this minute and 20 and then break it down from there. This is from ABC News.
While caucus has only officially announced its position today, it's been expected for months. It's pretty hard to walk away from comments like this.
If one child commits suicide over the plebiscite, then that is one too many.
So, where to from here? Well, the legislation to enable a plebiscite to go ahead on February 11, 2017 will not pass Parliament. It will get the House of Representatives, but Labor, the Greens, the Nick Xenophon team and Derryn Hinch will vote no in the Senate. The government will still push for a vote, as is their election promise, and they can say they've fulfilled their commitment. It's unlikely a major party has the will to find a compromise.
And I say to the Prime Minister,
Labor will keep pushing for a free vote in Parliament. The government has said that won't happen. And who control the numbers to ensure it doesn't happen? Even though Malcolm Turnbull is in favour of legalising same-sex marriage, he wouldn't want to risk bringing a free vote, which would split the coalition.
The government that I am a part of and will remain a part of is conditioned on the fact that the only way that there will be a change to the Marriage Act in this Parliament is a plebiscite.
So for now, during the term of the 45th Parliament, the issue seems dead.
That is a very, very brief explanation of what is happening. So it is likely to go ahead in the House of Representatives, but the Greens, the Nick Xenophon team, and crossbencher Derryn Hinch is likely to block the legislation from passing in the Senate. By forcing a vote, the coalition can say that it fulfilled its promise and having it fail. and Labor and then put the blame on Labor and the crossbenchers from stopping it going ahead, meaning no matter what is done for the term of 45th Parliament, it will go nowhere as it currently stands in the term of the 45th Parliament. Rather, I'm getting all my words mixed up. So it is effectively dead. So, and by the way, February 11th, 2017 is a Saturday. So we will do, it'll be interesting if it does go ahead, which I don't know, it'd be interesting to see if any of those representatives kind of flip to have it passed, because you've got to think a crossbencher in the Senate when it comes to the Australian Senate is those who are elected independently of those of a major party. So when a major party is elected, you can kind of, when you're on the cross bench, that means you're kind of sat separately in terms of where you are in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, for that matter. You're kind of sat separately, and you can kind of go either way on a decision that's being handed down to the Senate. It goes through the House of Representatives first, then goes up to the Senate and needs the tick of both approvals. So it kind of plays in. So let's hear from major key players. This will kind of tie a nice little bow up on the bow here nicely. We're first going to hear from Senator George Brandis, who has changed his issue on same-sex marriage.
I think we all understand that community attitudes to this issue have evolved a great deal since 2004. I know in my own case in 2004, I was not someone who thought that the definition of marriage should extend to same-sex couples, but with the passage of the years, I, like many people, like Mr. Shorten, for example, have come to that view.
So he has changed his mind on the issue, which is it happens. These things happen. I've certainly changed on things. So let's think of key players. So Attorney General George Brandis, who we heard from there. Former Labor Prime Ministers Julia Gillard and Kevin Rudd. Reporter Julia Gillard voted against a bill for marriage equality in 2012 and only changed her mind last year. Terry Butler, Shadow Minister for Equality, said, quote, "It's a shame, isn't it? I didn't agree with her at the time. I don't agree with her now. I think she was a great Prime Minister, but on the matter, I vehemently disagreed, and my local member was Kevin Rudd. He also took the same time to move a position of supporting marriage equality," unquote. So, again, kind of flipping a little bit and kind of changing of the position on same-sex marriage. How key players have changed their mind on the plebiscite. Again, George Brandis has changed his mind on that. He said, "I was not intentionally in favour of the plebiscite when it was the matter debated on our party room floor in 2015, but I have become a firmer believer in the wisdom of this course of action, because if you're going to bring some profound social change, and I believe this would be a profound social change, then it'd be the best of doing it in the whole community with you," unquote. And then Bill Shorten at a community forum organized by the Australian Christian Lobby in 2013 said, quote, "Personally speaking, I'm completely relaxed about having some form of a plebiscite. I'd rather that the people of Australia would make their own view of this than leaving it to the issue of 150 people in the lower house." Then he said this.
"I speak for Tony Rogers and Ken Armstrong from the Blue Mountains, who shared each other's lives for 23 years. When Ken needed a kidney transplant, Tony was the donor. Both men are proud Australians. They love our country. They can trace their ancestry back to the First Fleet. And there is nowhere else in the world they want to get married. Today I speak for Sophie Meredith and Alison Gerard, who've been together for 8 years. They wear rings. They have 2 children whom they adore. They fulfil all the obligations of marriage, care, respect, love and family. Yet they are excluded. Their relationship is, in the eyes of our laws, somehow different, somehow less. Go down any street in Australia and you can hear these stories. Hard-working people raising children, building communities, serving the country, made to feel like second-class citizens through one last lingering relic of legal prejudice. It's in our power in this place to change that once and for all. That's why Labor promised to deliver marriage equality within our first 100 days. Today we seek to honour that promise.
And I think the rest of the audio there was cut out. I want to see if my audio is still here. Hang on a sec.
I speak for Tony Rogers.
Okay, sorry, never mind. The audio must have just cut out there at the end, which is odd. But anyway, so then, and also then Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull on August 12th, 2015, quote, one of my many attractions of a free vote that would have meant the matter would have been resolved in the Parliament one way or another in a couple of weeks. The reason why I didn't advocate a plebiscite after the next election is that it would mean that the issue is a live issue all the way up to the next election. And indeed, at the next election, if we return to office, it'll be a very live issue in the lead-up to the plebiscite itself. This was Malcolm Turnbull last month.
What we have set out is exactly what we took to the election. We went to the election and we said we are going to give every Australian a say on this question of whether same-sex couples should be allowed to marry, whether the law should be changed to allow that. Our job as parliamentarians is to attend and vote at the plebiscite according to our conscience. But right now, this is what our job is, and this is what Mr. Shorten's job is. Our job is to ensure that the Australian people have the opportunity to express their view and to do so in a manner that is fair and impartial, that is seen as being fair and impartial by all Australians, regardless of their point of view on the issue. Now, we have set out a mechanism to do that, and I might say the Special Minister of State and the Attorney General will be doing a press conference very shortly to go through all of the mechanics, but it is a very carefully considered proposal, legislation, that will enable everyone to have a say in a thoroughly fair manner. That's the important thing. Our job as the government, as parliamentarians today, is not to try to tip the table one way or another. We want it to be absolutely fair, civil contest where both sides feel they've had a fair go. The Australian people will make a decision and then the Parliament will respect it.
There we go. Also, this is Malcolm Turnbull's defender, federal member MP Trent Zinnemann.
Well, there are many of us that made it clear that we would have supported it and preferred a free vote rather than a plebiscite. But Malcolm is the head of a team, he leads a team, and he's respecting that team decision. And I think that this was one of the things he committed to when he became leader, that was to operate a good cabinet system of government, one in which the party room was better consulted and better respected in its views. And I think that's what Malcolm Turnbull has done.
And here we move on to proponents of same-sex marriage, champion of the same-sex marriage within the coalition, particularly the Conservative wing.
Let me tell you, when I started advocacy in this area over a decade ago, I would walk down the corridors and both sides of politics, from their leaders down, they would hide under their desks or they'd lock their doors. They didn't really want to talk about it. And it's amazing how far we've come in this place, and how far we've come as a society in relation to acceptance of this issue in the last decade.
Well, there you go, short and to the point. LGBT rights activist and academic Rodney Crew, Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus, Penny Wong, who was a senator, I believe, yes, New South Wales Independent Alex Greenwich, Then you've got opponents of same-sex marriage and Conservative Liberal MP Senator Eric Albert. I want to hear this.
If you support the tradition...
Oh, by the way, I want to say this is the...
support the traditional...
Oh, Christ, let me talk. It's a talk show. I talk. I host, not you. Here's the deal. So, we really need to get a little break. I talk. I host the show, not you. So, this is the argument that I can see but don't really agree with. So, here we go. 12 seconds of gold here.
If you support the traditional view of marriage, does not mean that you are a bigot. In fact, it means that you support an institution that has withstood the test of time.
There you go. Christian, the Australian Christian lobby, Lyle Shelton, of course. Public speaker Sophie York, who is the publisher of that awful material that I read as well. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, there's no more same-sex marriage publicized talk for me. For me. No. Oh, I just closed the window. All right, fantastic. All right, I just closed something that I needed. Hey, do you want an app? There's an app for everything these days. But did you know there was there's an app that can help you with incontinence treatment? That's right. Dale gets awkward and talks about lady parts. Go me. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday on Geek.io, it's so good to be here. It's 10:22. Found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's so good to be here. Now, one thing you may not know about me is that I think it was like 2 years ago now. I volunteered here locally. There was a volunteering opportunity to work at a conference. And it was a confidence... It was an incontinence convention. It was an eye-opening experience, I'll tell you that much for sure. But one thing I did learn from that volunteering experience is that it's way more complicated than what you might think. Just want to put that out there. It's way more complicated. Incontinence is way more complicated. Ladies are complicated. GLS. Ladies are difficult. Who are ladies and what do they do and how do they work? Now, I kid, by the way. Ladies are great. So, there's an app for everything these days. Whether you need to pee a little, or whether you do pee a little when you laugh or sneeze, turns out there's a good app for that. Stress incontinence develops when your part that controls when pee gets released and your pelvic floor muscles, hey, I can say that on the air, it supports your bladder become weak. In women, the common cause is nerve and tissue damage from childbirth, which may lead to a little bit of a leakage from years on in. If you are struggling with the frustrating problem, you might want to check out Tiat. By the way, before I get hate mail at genericliveshow@gmail.com, I want to say I do know there are incontinence problems with men too. Just want to put that out there. I work in the health and beauty section of a supermarket. I understand there are man pants out there. Don't send hate mail to me, but please do send mail to genericliveshow@gmail.com. I needed to get a selfless plug in there somehow. A recent study found that the free Android app, sorry iPhone users, sorry, mainly helped women reduce the severity of their symptoms in 3 months' time, especially TIAT, a training program for your pelvic floor. It guides you through progressively challenging exercise to build up strength. When you master one, you move on to the next. For each exercise, graphics demonstrate how long and how intensity you should contact your muscles. The app also offers life-size advice and lets you set reminders so you stick to regular workouts. To find out whether TIAT makes an actual difference, researchers from Luther University, I'm sure I nailed that enunciation, in northern Sweden split 123 women with stress incontinence into two groups. One group used the app for 3 months, the other group, a control, received no treatment. According to the authors, who recently published their findings in the Journal of Neurology and Eudynamics, TIAT yielded clinically relevant improvements. At the end of the study period, participants in the app group had fewer leaks per week, used fewer pads, and reported a better quality of life. Oh, isn't that adorable? Quote, women who experienced the app was stable from this kind of pelvic floor training. They carried their smartphones with them at all times, which, oh, by the way, that's the downside of all of this. And the reminders helped and motivated them to perform their training regularly. Askard explained, for women who prefer to manage their incontinence themselves, this is an opinion worth trying. She says, there are too many health apps, but there are a few evaluated in research studies. Thanks, health.com. Now, first of all, anything that helps people have a better lifestyle, I'm all in favor for. It just... linking smartphones to peeing, I don't know how... the prevention of peeing, I don't know how well those two kind of link together. Just saying. I think it links well. I think it links well, but you kind of have to worry. You have to wonder, is it worth kind of having your phone with you when you do? Yeah, I'm not going to continue that train of thought because it's going to go to a very dark place very, very quickly. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's 10:30. Yes, by the way, that is the tease for the next segment. Oh, dear God, no.
Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell.
Don't be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. The happy intro music is literally the only happy thing going to happen in this segment. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday on Geek.io. Yeah. Let's enjoy this a little bit more. Yes. Oh, yeah. How about that election? Yeah, the music got killed. Sorry. Oops. BBC actually did sum up the week. Hey, I have a cough button as well. Let me use it. By the way, just want to show off that I have both a dump button and a cough button. I'm special. Here's the thing, though. I need a producer so they can do all that stuff, so I don't have to worry about it. Oh no, dear God, no! See, yes, I'm talking about the US presidential election because it's everywhere. You cannot avoid it. You know, I tried my hardest. If I didn't talk about the plebiscite so much in the first hour, unexpectedly, hey, where's that thing? It's not in reach. Anyway, so that thing, I could read that instead. I could reread you the marriage equality thing, but I, dear God. So how long until the US presidential election? Is it in Google yet? 27 days until America votes. I think it's 23 days? Is it 23 days? America votes in 27 days. America votes. 22 days. 1 hour, 23 minutes until America votes. Yes. You know, We're really going to die. It's 3 weeks. 3 weeks from Tuesday. It would be, yeah. 3 weeks from Tuesday until America votes. We're going to be talking about this election more and more now. I gave up in the primaries. I did this big summary of Trump won. That's about it. Started following the primaries. The primaries got boring. Trump was going to win. And now we avoided the election for a while. And dear God, I don't really want to talk about this. So here's the deal. We had a debate. And the debate was literally a reenactment of "Baby, It's Cold Outside," which is my favorite meme of that debate. It was literally Trump smacking Hillary all over the stage, and Hillary going, "Oh, look, there's a crazy person." That's quite literally what the second debate was. And you know, Trump accusing, saying that Trump's going to lock Hillary up, and Hillary saying, "I'm going to lock Trump up." And dear God, I watched that second debate, and dear God, I'm going to give it a 2 out of 10. That, as a thing to watch, it was just awful. But it gets even better, because Mr. Trump embraced the lock her up rhetoric, received the lion's share of the commiseration from the left and the right, the debate moment that likely would have had the greatest impact on the final month of the campaign. The dubious humor is uncertain, certainly recorded discussion of how he made unwelcome advantage on women was just talk. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this, on Friday, is it Friday of last week? I did mention it on the show. I don't know if I focused in on it because, dear God, no. That Trump said things about women on a bus. I just couldn't find audio of it anymore on there. Here is apprentice contestant Summer Vevos accuses Donald Trump of thrusting his genitals at her during a business meeting. I don't know how graphic this audio is, but we'll see. If it loads. I'm not waiting forever. So that is That is the Trump side of things. Meanwhile, Mrs. had her own share.
Uncertain markets call for
Uncertain markets causes me to mute 10-second ads because I say so. Really don't want to talk about this election, guys. I'm not even kidding at this point. I just... Alright, here is this.
I stood up, and he came to me and started kissing me open-mouthed as he was pulling me towards him. I walked away and I sat down in a chair. He was on a love seat across from me, and I made an attempt at conversation. He then asked me to sit next to him. I complied. He then grabbed my shoulder and began kissing me again very aggressively and placed his hand on my breast. I pulled back and walked to another part of the room. He then walked up, grabbed my hand, and walked me into the bedroom. I walked out. He then turned me around and said, "Let's lay down and watch some telly." He put me in an embrace, and I tried to push him away. I pushed his chest to put space between us, and I said, "Come on, man, get real." He repeated my words back to me, "Get real," as he began thrusting his genitals. He tried to kiss me again with my hand still on his chest, and I said, "Dude, you're tripping right now," attempting to make it clear I was not interested. He said, What do you want?" And I said, "I came to have dinner." He said, "Okay, we'll have dinner."
I'm not, and by the way, don't take me and my disinterest for this U.S. presidential elections as blowing any of this stuff up. I mean, it's serious. It's serious allegations and serious things to consider. But when the week has been this bad, just bad news all around in terms of the U.S. election, you kind of have to throw your hands up and go, "Well, hit me at this point." This week has been filled with people like this coming out and saying that Donald Trump essentially kind of sexually assaulted them, effectively. And the whole week has been filled with this. So the point I'm trying to make is I'm surprised that none of this stuff has happened sooner. I'm surprised that none of this stuff happened. Well, I know why it didn't happen in the primaries, because of the media bias, which, come on, if you're not willing to admit the media bias, then something's wrong. Also, I'm surprised, when he was the head of The Apprentice, I'm surprised, hosting and running The Apprentice, I'm surprised that none of this stuff came out at the height of that to try and hinder the relationships. But running for positions, by the way, this is politics across the board, and you're so vulnerable when you run for the head of something, and I would know, I've been there, you are so vulnerable to what people say. And no one has a clean record. I'm the first to tell you that. I wouldn't hope I'm not the first person to tell you that. But everything's fair game, everything's bare bones, and this is as raw as it gets. Unfortunately, but this stuff comes out when you're running for president. Now, on the other side of the aisle, Hillary Clinton has not had much of a better week either, as, guess what? Email hacks! Yay! From WikiLeaks. Finally, WikiLeaks released some information. Hacked John Podesta, I think is how you say his name, head of the Clinton campaign anyway, about how the campaign, over messaging, even individual tweets, campaign tactics, resolve staff infighting, plus revolt within the Catholic Church, and liberals kind of saying that they hate the Catholic Church and all the rest of it. saying that Bernie Sanders was gypped, and parts of Ms. Clinton's speech to Wall Street banks that her future pinning for hemispherical free trade and open borders zone. And the campaign also turned into, apart from that, turned into Trump versus the world, as Republicans kind of back away slowly. They do back away slowly, announcing that the shackles were free from him on Tuesday morning, picking fights with party members, and he regularly tells his supporters to should carefully monitor polling places in other communities for signs of malfeasance. His own website currently has a sign up for volunteer election observers. Fantastic. Quote, this election will determine whether we have a free nation or whether we have the illusion of democracy. I shouldn't move away from my microphone. And the fact that we're controlled by a small handful of global special interests rigging the system, our system is rigged, Mr. Trump said at a rally in Florida. Exact quote. And then we have Michelle Obama with her club smacking people because, well, that does not help a campaign that much as well when you've got the First Lady coming out and not saying Donald Trump's name, but we really know who you're talking about here, Michelle Obama. You're not fooling anyone, particularly if you're talking to a crowd of Democratic supporters. You really cannot hide who you're talking about because it's obvious. I mean, well, duh. Come on. You explain the situation, you can just say his name. Anyway, here is Michelle Obama on Donald Trump.
Michelle Obama isn't a politician, nor does she have any aspirations to become one.
Okay, first of all, wrong button. First of all, no. No, 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 no. Second of all, she's the First Lady of the United States. Anyway, we'll continue.
And pulls no punches.
And I can't believe...
Hang on, she pulls... Anyway, move on.
I'm saying that a candidate for President of the United States has bragged about sexually assaulting women. And I have to tell you that I can't stop thinking about this. It has shaken me to my core in a way that I couldn't have predicted.
As political speeches go, this was heartfelt and direct. She didn't refer to him by name, nor did she hide her disgust towards Donald Trump and comments he's made about women.
This is not politics as usual. This wasn't just locker room banter. This was a powerful individual speaking freely and openly about sexually predatory behavior and actually bragging about kissing and groping women, using language so obscene that many of us were worried about our children hearing it when we turn on the TV.
Michelle Obama is seen as a key asset when it comes to the Clinton campaign for her ability to reach voters in ways Hillary Clinton can't. Her enthusiasm, her energy and her emotion could be crucial when it comes to getting core Democratic voting bases out. And that includes millennials. All of Michelle Obama's rallies for Hillary Clinton have been in swing states, nearly all on college campuses.
She's just got this charm, this way of speaking that's very much more appealing to people than Hillary Clinton. And she exudes confidence more.
There's some things that come up with Hillary that, like, the scandals with the emails and, like, considers that she's dirty, but a lot of people look at that as a negative thing. But Miss Obama has never had that.
Bernie supporters are more on the social aspect and maybe don't want to support Hillary and are kind of on the fence with, you know, the whole past of her campaign. And I think that's why she really needs somebody to give everybody that push and really give them that trust.
Somebody like Michelle Obama.
Yep, somebody as influential as Michelle Obama.
You ready to roll up your sleeves? Get to work knocking on doors!
It's not typical to see a First Lady being put to work on the campaign trail, but Michelle Obama's full-throttled criticism of Donald Trump shows she's prepared to put up a fight for Hillary Clinton and explains why she's being seen as a powerful force this election. Regina Vaidyanathan, BBC News, New Hampshire.
Now, OK, first of all, yeah, well, OK. First ladies, that this is their job. Let's not beat around the bush here. I mean, both sides of the aisles kind of export is probably the wrong word, but kind of utilise the powers of the First Lady, particularly at this time, to try and get, well, in this case, the incumbent party elected, but in other times, their party, even more so, their current party up, get them up in the election as well. We are hard up against a break, so we can't continue this dumpster fire of a week in the US election. So, well, that's a damn shame. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we have some food tips. It's food talk with Dale. Yay! As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday with me. It's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Glad we're out of the dumpster fire that is that segment, because I probably could not take any more. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:52. Never miss a minute of the Generic Live Show. Find us on iTunes, just search the Generic Live Show, and listen. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. For a Sunday, we are heading into the closing time of the segment of the show here. It's been a rather interesting broadcast here this evening. It's been good. I've enjoyed myself, as always. It's always fun to kind of talk on the internet. Right here. Oh, yes. Okay, so here's the deal. It's breakfast time, It's around breakfast time. It's, 5 minutes to nine. It's Monday morning breakfast time. We're heading in close. We have 5 protein pack breakfast ideas in 10 minutes or less. I might actually put this up on my Facebook page, because it's quite fascinating. So in terms of this one, each breakfast packs in at least 20 grams of protein and has 400 calories or less. So here we go. It's recipes with Dale. So the Sunrise Smoothie. For an easy prepare breakfast option, you can consume on the go. Combine 1 cup of low-fat dairy milk, 1/2 cup of plain Greek yogurt, 1 cup of frozen berries. Add ice as needed, desired consistency is reached. There you go. 250 calories, 21 proteins. 21 grams of protein. Cheesy egg sandwich. To make, cook 1 large egg until desired doneness. Toast 1 whole wheat English muffin. Once the egg is cooked through, place your cheese slice over the egg until it's soft and melty. Use a spatula to move the egg and cheese onto your toasted muffin and enjoy. Including avocado, if you so desire, 390 grams calories, 20 grams of protein. Cottage cheese and tomato bagel. Toast the bagel. Use 1 mini bagel, or make open-faced half traditional bagel as your base. Choose whole grain, add extra protein and fiber. Toast the bagel and top with half a cup of... Whoa, what? Half a cup of low-fat cottage cheese and tomato slices? Wow. For a less messy half, a bite-sized option, choose halved cherries tomatoes to top your bagel. Season with some cracked black pepper to taste. Calories, 220. Grams of protein, 20. Overnight oats with almond and honey. This is interesting. Combine half a cup of regular oats, half a cup of Greek yogurt, half a cup of low-fat dairy milk with a lid to soak overnight. If you like, add half a cup of fruit. When you're ready to eat, top up with 2 tablespoons of chopped almonds with drizzle of honey and a dust of cinnamon. This breakfast is an excellent source of protein to get your day started on the right foot. Calories, 380. Protein, 25 grams. High-protein muffins. So lots of muffins. Muffins are good. While most store-bought and bakery muffins are nothing short of a giant cupcake, baking your own high-protein muffins to grab and go in the morning can be saving the way you properly fooled until lunch. Muffin recipes include ingredients such as nuts, seeds, whole grains, protein powder, or beans will increase the protein power to your muffins. Top up the protein factor even further by using a tablespoon of all natural peanut butter. Peanut butter will add 4 grams of protein. There you go. That's interesting. Okay. I might actually take these recipes into consideration. So, especially the cheesy egg sandwich. I've got some eggs that I have laying around. I might do that for breakfast tomorrow. But I'm having breakfast early. I don't want to. Okay, we'll figure it out. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's been a pleasure. It's gone really fast. Today has gone really, really, really fast. Thank you for jumping on the bandwagon. Thank you so much. Thanks to Geek.io for having us on. You can email the show. GenericLiveShow@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's 11 o'clock.
This has been a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.